Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today, we're going to be talking about sex. And trust me, if you think that forgiveness will not affect you in the bedroom, you are completely, completely wrong. I sat down with sex and relationship expert Dr. Ivanka DeRitter, who spoke on how forgiveness can affect our relationships and intimacy with our significant others. This is an episode that is a must listen, and this one is for 18 and older audiences. Here's the interview. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and today I have a very special guest, Dr. Ivanka DeRitter. Say hello.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Honestly, I want to thank you for doing this episode. I really appreciate it. So for those of you who do not know, she is a licensed sex therapist. Did I forget to add anything?
I was more say clinical sexologist, so I dive a little deeper into some sexual dysfunctions. But yeah, you summed it up in a nutshell: marriage and family therapist.
Awesome sauce.
Probably the other title.
Awesome sauce. So when I reached out to you in the email, I just said I was looking to talk about forgiveness in sex. So I'm really glad that I got you, because I read your profile when I Googled you. I read your profile and I said, oh, this is who I definitely wanted to grab. So thank you for responding again. I really appreciate that. Absolutely. So I just want to start off with an icebreaker to keep it light, keep it fun. What fictional world or place would you like to visit?
Fictional? Oh, I really... really any other planet but Earth right now, which is if we had to sum it up that way.
Yeah.
But I guess if I had to choose, I really dig the whole Avatar thing. So
I forget
what planet that is. I don't recall the name at the moment, but yeah, I wouldn't mind going there. That works.
That's a good one. I actually forgot about that. That was a beautiful world. It really was.
It really was. Yeah, I would take that any day.
Oh my gosh. Dang, that's a good one. For me, honestly, I'd say put me in the Marvel Universe.
That's a good one too. I would take that.
Definitely put me in the Marvel Universe and I'll be fine. I'll be absolutely fine.
I would enjoy it. Although I would say that the Marvel Universe, they seem to have a lot more problems. Bigger ones.
Yeah.
Like the world ending.
Yeah, that's true. Because half the world did get turned to dust. So I can understand that part. Eesh. I'm going to still keep it though. Yeah. I'll still keep it. I grew up with them. I grew up with Marvel. So I'm definitely keep that Marvel's one. Great. Yeah. Fun fact, I actually met Stan Lee, the guy who, you know, created Marvel. So that was
great.
That was a highlight of mine.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a unique individual to me, you know.
Yes, he is. Oh, yes.
Time capsule moments.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and he was very nice, very humble as well. So, oh, man, I miss him already. So I wanted to get into it because when it came to forgiveness, I was trying to figure out where forgiveness, you know, what aspects in our life can forgiveness, you know, reside. And when I thought about it, forgiveness resides in all aspects, especially in marriage and even in our sex lives. So I wanted to ask you, when it comes to forgiveness, what have you seen that has been the effects of couples forgiving each other and the effects of couples not forgiving one another?
Well, I mean, there's so many examples. I mean, to put it to you this way, I'm seeing the outcomes of forgiveness both being utilized through improving the intimacy on both sides of the fence, but I see it every single day. It's really interesting because it's something that we need to utilize much more frequently and much more regularly. But generally, mentally, we associate the concept of forgiveness to a really major event, but we don't realize that it's something that we need to practice almost like minute to minute, hour to hour. We need to be able to give that benefit of the doubt or let someone, including ourselves, off the hook. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, "Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know until you learned it." And I deal with that pretty often, working with couples and with families, because I mean, there are little nuances that we don't even think about that requires forgiveness, right? When we're getting on our significant other for not getting the clothes into the laundry basket, and that's building small resentment. I mean, you wouldn't think of that as something that requires forgiveness, but it does, because it's a cumulative amount of those little moments that get to this point where we just live with this disdain and resentment, and that all loops back into intimacy. We start to protect ourselves. We begin to put up walls, because over time we just get frustrated with being upset that frequently. Am I making sense? Are you following?
No, I'm right there with you. I'm totally right there with you.
Yeah,
And
so it's a daily thing, especially in relationships.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because it's really in relationships, because with when we carry unforgiveness, it can really break down relationships. It could tear down relationships.
Right.
And I wanted to ask, when it comes to, we're talking about sex. So when it comes to, dealing with the bed, like dealing with couples in the bedroom with our sex lives, have you seen where forgiveness or unforgiveness has affected that, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And it kind of loops back to what I was saying in terms of like every day. I see it every day because, you know, it's most of the time when couples come and see me, it's I hate to say it, but you know, they wait until it's broken to fix it. And that is a really big issue. It gives us more work. It takes us much longer to figure things out. But I can almost relate any situation that a couple comes to me for in terms of intimacy or even sexual intimacy. I can relate it all back to some level of forgiveness, some level of trust versus mistrust that needs to be processed and worked through that were just swept under a rug. And so the way I see that show up most commonly is resentment. And every day. I mean, I can give you an example of a client that I have or a couple that I have, and we're dealing with that. We're dealing with forgiveness to some degree.
Now, I know you can't go into detail with your clients. I'm with that. So with the resentment, where have you seen that, where areas have you seen that show up the most, if that makes sense?
You mean in terms of sexuality or in terms of intimacy or
Want to say
life?
both. I'm going to say both.
So intimacy really, I mean, I'll give you some background on this just for frame of reference.
Sure.
Intimacy shows up in different levels, right? You've got physical intimacy, mental intimacy, emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy, and then lifestyle. Intimacy really just refers to the ability to connect and join with someone on a really deep interpersonal level. And so when we're dealing with physical intimacy, that's obviously touch, right? Sex,
Yes.
or any sort of just affection. It could be, you know, any type of physical experience. And then you have mental intimacy, which is generally your ability to have a conversation with another person and really connect, respect each other's viewpoints, and just enjoy conversation with them. And then you have emotional intimacy, which is being able to emotionally support one another, to recognize feelings and to nurture those in each other. And then there's spiritual intimacy, which is the ability to respect and also connect when it comes to values and belief systems. And then lifestyle intimacy is really your ability to connect in, I guess, activities that you both like or enjoy, and being able to have fun together, right? So just in your day-to-day life, or you go to, you like the same music, things like that. So, I mean, over time, unforgiveness, I've seen it show. So long story short, after explaining all that, I've seen it show up the most in, I would probably say, physical intimacy, and I would say emotional intimacy. But if any one of those categories is out of balance at any point, it impacts the whole gamut.
And you just answered that was the next question I was just about to ask you. So in order to experience intimacy, all five of these need to connect and be in sync, correct?
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, all of those would be balanced, but that's never going to happen. I think the key, and it's going to shift. So for example, at one phase or stage in your, over the course of your relationship or marriage, you may have, let's say, one that's more out of balance than the others, but then in another stage or phase of your life, those shift. You become more connected in some areas and less connected in others. The key Yes. to success in intimacy is remaining mindful and just remembering to pay attention to what is within balance and what needs work, and then putting your attention and resources there. Because what's often happening is couples neglect to pay attention to which areas that they need intimacy. And so when you hear the word intimacy, your first, your gut reaction is to think sex, but it's all five of those levels. So most people just think, oh, I'm feeling disconnected from my partner. We need to have more sex. We need to have more sex. And you'll see this often in with males, right? They think that the only way to feel closer is to have more sex. And although that is a great way to connect and really attain that like ultimate level of intimacy with another person, it's not sustainable to have that amount of sex all the time, as it relates to the need that we have as humans. It's just not, it's not normal to sustain that long-term. So I think that, yeah, I think that ultimately you need to just be able to pay attention to what's within balance and what needs work, and then put the effort forward, both people, yes. both partners, yeah.
Absolutely, and it's funny, I said, that sounds like a male answer. Like, we need to have more sex. That definitely sounds like a male answer. And you tell me if I'm in the wrong here, I have a feeling that when there's more sex involved and there's no intimacy, it's basically you're not enjoying the moment. You're just there. And there's no enjoyment. It's just like, okay, it's happening. And I can already see, you know, you probably will say, you like, well, in this case, if the male says this, the woman, the wife or the woman would be like, do I have to sit here? Do I have grocery lists? Did I leave the stove on? Oh, it's over? Yeah. Okay, cool. Now I can go handle this grocery list. But I could see it happening as, what's the word I'm trying to see here? You start to be numb if there's no intimacy. And please correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, well, so the phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it, really holds true. It really does, especially when it comes to physical intimacy. Our bodies change, but I mean, just like anything else, if your attention isn't there and you're not nurturing that side of your makeup, then you lose that connection with it. So no amount of sex is going to nurture the time that you need with yourself. So I guess what I'm coming down to is it's really to really get to great intimacy with another person, you need to have that bond with yourself. And to loop this back around to forgiveness, a lot of us were raised with shaming, sex shaming. Yes. And because of that really distorted relationship that we have with sexuality, which is a very innate, inherent part of us that just won't change. It's not going to go away. It's because of that weird, distorted relationship. We all grow up with guilt and negative feelings and thoughts towards our sexuality. Mm-hmm. So I think that ultimately, as a collective, like as human beings, we need to reconnect with our own sexuality and then begin to forgive ourselves. Yes. Because our souls know that what we've been doing as humans on this planet, torturing ourselves through guilt and shaming our sexuality, it's not okay. And so there's this internal discord that's happening between our soul and our body that's just going, what, you know, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to forgive ourselves for putting ourselves through that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. And honestly, that resonated with me a lot because, you know, we get shamed, both men and women alike get shamed for sexuality. Either you're having too much sex, you're not having enough, you're not the right body type. And you get absorbed with all these messages, and you do need to really sit down with yourself and be good with your own sexuality. You have to, because if you're,
oh yeah.
Oh gosh, that was so good. Oh, that was, so, I'm sorry. That just really punched me. That was good. That was really good.
I'm glad it did, because it needs to. And I'm going to say it again, because it's just so important that as humans, we begin to have this realization. Sex is an inherent natural part of our makeup. Yes. And our ability to even please ourselves and for others to please us really comes from our ability to accept that about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we cannot reach levels of healthy relationships and healthy, you know, intimacy until we do that. We have to forgive ourselves and our community and our parents for it, because they only did what they thought was best at the time, but it's caused irreparable damage over the generations and decades. If I could just slap religion on the wrist and go, you know, no, bad. I would love to do that, because they, you know, organized religion has just really destroyed our perceptions and beliefs about our bodies.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they did what they thought was best, and that's fine. We forgive them, but we also forgive ourselves for attaching to those belief systems, even though deep down we know it's wrong it's wrong to be mad at ourselves for needing or desiring something that our bodies are wired to do. It's the same. It's on the same level as eating and sleeping.
Yeah.
If we don't eat and sleep, our bodies will force us, and by any means necessary, we will do what we can. Sexuality is the same thing. But for some reason, we've grown up believing it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's not a choice.
Honestly, and here's the thing that I want to, here's another thing I want to add. I actually want to piggyback off a point that you just said. When you do repress a lot of that, it's going to come out one way or another. Whether, from what I've seen, it'll come out either violently, or it'll come out in a way that'll either hurt you or hurt other people if it's repressed.
Absolutely. And
the one thing I want to say is, when it comes to sex, like you said, you know, God did create us human beings, and he did create sex. So it's not a bad thing. And that is a natural desire in our human nature. That's nothing right. Real, you know.
And it's not procreation.
I can't hear you.
And it's not just for reproducing.
Oh, you know, you are shoot, you absolutely right. I'm gonna tell you this right now. And honestly, I've heard about, you know, sex is just for procreation. I'll be like, wow, that's nice. It's new to me, but okay, do you. But honestly, that's another thing that needs to be taught. You know, is it for procreation? Absolutely. But it's also, you know, for me, my definition is it could help, you know, reinforce relationship between husband and wife one of the many things. And that's one thing I definitely encourage, you know, married couples to do, is to please do it. So we talked about resentment with intimacy. So what about resentment when it comes to our sexuality? Like, what have you seen with that?
Ooh. Yeah, when it comes to resentment and sexuality, we're talking about layers upon layers of just damage, right? That I generally have to kind of peel back an onion on when I'm dealing with any type of couple or individual. with any sort of sexual or intimacy issue, it comes down to that. It comes into loop back around to our previous conversation. Again, it all loops back to being able to forgive ourselves, because we harbor that resentment. We harbor it against the people in our lives and our parents and our church and ourselves. And that just gets in the way of everything. And like you said earlier, it can come out in very ugly ways.
Yeah.
You know, I have my degree in criminology as well. And so I spent I spent some time really digging into, and this is actually what led me to the clinical sexology and the marriage and family therapy route, is that I studied, you know, serial killers and really got into what made them tick and in the criminal psych side of things. And through my work there, it just kind of kept looping around to, you know, one common theme is the guilt, the shame, and that we have surrounding sexuality. Whoa. And so you'll see some of the worst criminals and serial killers that existed. A lot of these things that just got so out of hand, they all root back down to some level of sexual, you know, issue. It really creates a world of issues when we aren't open about it, when we're not accepting about it with our children. You know, households still struggle talking about it. And we really need to get away from that as a community, because a lot of what we're dealing with comes from that. It's like, think about it this way. If we had to take, you know, a community or a group of people and just severely starve them, what would happen? They would act crazy, right? I mean, they do some pretty extreme things to get food.
Right.
So when you shut that part of your sexuality down on a subconscious level to such a degree that when it does show itself, the only way you can cope with it is in extreme ways, to where you can't even control the way it shows up anymore.
Yeah,
it's similar. It's similar to that.
Jeez, I didn't even think about it in that way. And wow.
Yeah, a lot of issues come from that. It really does. So whenever I work with couples, it's a go-to. I don't care what they're coming to me about and what problem that they think they're having.
Yeah.
It's usually just rooting it back down to somehow the trust and mistrust that not only they had dealt with themselves and with their community growing up and family origin, but also with each other, you know, throughout the course of the relationship and working through that pattern that happens, that trust, mistrust, and even on the little things. So forgiveness is a huge component when it comes to that, when it comes to achieving intimacy and just overall, you know, happier individuals, you know, for yourself. It's being able to forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know until you learned it. We are where we are, you know, the damage has been done, but we can change that going forward for ourselves and our children.
Yes. And that's what I'm all about. I'm all about breaking generational curses and just breaking, you know, that stigma. Because it's powerful when you can see it started with my family member here, but it ends with me. Mm-hmm. So that's always a great win. Always a great win. I want to ask, have you seen, when it comes to unforgiveness, have you seen anything dealing with, for example, with body issues? And what I mean by that, is, you know, you can see like resentment from, for example, let's do a hypothetical. Have a couple come in and every time, for example, the husband looks at the wife's stretch marks, he frowns his face. Have you seen, you know, hypothetically the wife saying, I'm having issues with, you know, body issues, and, you know, to forgive herself for having those body issues, if that makes sense?
It makes sense. But I'll put it to you in two ways, right?
Okay.
The first is what we put out is what we get back, right? So it loops right back to yourself. is yes. if you view your stretch marks as a problem, and if you view it as something negative that you hate and dislike about yourself, people around you will respond the same way, not even consciously, on a subconscious level. Energy is a very powerful thing.
Yes.
And we completely underestimate the amount of power that we have as individuals. Because I mean, heck, if we had to figure that out and know it, we wouldn't need a government.
Right? Oh, so, my goodness.
So when you think about energy and how it even manifests, it's feeling, emotion and thoughts, right? But emotion can manifest something quicker than anything else.
Yes.
So if you are harboring negative feelings towards, you know, yourself, your relationship, or your partner, and you don't find a proper productive outlet for it in a way that you can process through it and release it, it will stay in your body and it will manifest through illness, disease, weight gain. It will, just weird things can happen. You can have certain pains that show up that are inexplicable. You could, I mean, all kinds of ways. Our body is our greatest messenger, and we ignore it. You know, it can show up through tension. It could show up through all kinds of ways. So we go to the doctor and we're like, I have the symptom. And most of the time, you know, our medical industry, they're just running around like chickens without their head looking for a diagnosis. But it's incredible how much of what we deal with physiologically comes back to mental. It just comes back to our belief system and what we're putting out.
Yes, that's nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad you said that. I'm really glad you said that, because you're right. It does start in our head. And tell me if you heard this quote before, and you can tell me if it's true or not. I think the quote goes, a majority of sex is mental. Is that true?
Well, I mean, what's true and what isn't, right, is relative. So I'm going to just plug that in there for a second, because I don't really believe in what's right or wrong either. It's just so subjective, right? So what's true for you may not be true for me. Okay. But coming from a majority standpoint, yes, a lot of the sexual dysfunctions and a lot of intimacy struggles that we deal with are more mental than they are anything else. We obviously have to rule out anything that could be genetic or physiological. When we're dealing with some dysfunctions, we got to rule that out first, but
yes.
A lot of it is predominantly mental.
Okay.
And so if we're harboring resentments and, negative emotions or feelings or thoughts, you don't even have to be thinking about it every day for it to be a problem. Most of us feel, well, I haven't thought of that in years. It doesn't matter. Your subconscious knows it's there. Your body knows it's there. It hasn't been processed. It hasn't been released. It's going to show up one way or another.
Yes.
You can count on it.
Oh my gosh. I just want to sit with that, because that's powerful. That's really powerful. Thank you for saying that. Really, thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
So, hopefully I phrased this question correctly. Would you say that when we experience forgiveness in the areas of intimacy, not in a perfect world where everything, hypothetically, where everything is in harmony, but to levels that we can, you know, levels that make sure the relationship is healthy, would you say we can enjoy intimacy and sexuality a lot more?
Can you repeat that for me one more time?
Sure. When we experience forgiveness and, for example, in intimacy, like physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and lifestyle, would you say we would enjoy intimacy and sexuality more?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's just about synergy, right?
Right.
And balance is the key word. It's somewhere along the lines, and I can't tell you exactly where, but again, another societal issue is, and especially when it comes to relationship, we've attached to this notion of extremes. In the sense of we're only in love when we experience extreme feelings of attraction and chemistry.
Yes.
But if we don't feel that, then we must be out of love and this must not be for us anymore. And so we go and seek out these highs thinking that when we hit these lows, that it's a low, it's a negative thing. But what people don't realize is real love, real, genuine, healthy love is boring. It's very boring. It is, because there's no highs and lows. There's no negative, nasty, disrespectful, cheating, infidelity. You know, there's none of the stuff that sends us on these extreme highs and lows. And by boring, I mean, it's just, you don't need the drama. You don't need all these things. You interact in respectful ways. And now that doesn't mean that you're always going to have, you know, great, amazing sex. And sometimes it takes some work, but as long as you still enjoy it when you are doing it, it just because it's not once a week or even once a month sometimes doesn't mean that you've fallen out of love.
Yeah.
So society's really dinged us on that one. And I was going somewhere else with that, but I lost my train of thought. Oh, the question. Oh, yeah. Let me loop back around. Okay. So looping back around to your question, any time that we have some synergy with another individual and there's some connectivity, I think out of the five levels of intimacy, you need to be able to meet in at least three of them in a healthy manner in order to even want to work on the other two. I think any less than three, you're trying to prove something else to yourself. Like, you know, I refuse to give up, or I've got to prove self-worth and make this relationship that's really not working and that's really not healthy work. And so those are really the times that you want to take a little deeper look into your relationship and really what's worth putting the effort towards. But other than that, you need to have at least three of those in balance. And when any one of those are connected, it will help your physical intimacy. Absolutely. So when couples come to me and they're saying, you know, we don't have sex, we have an intimacy problem, I rarely even touch on the actual sexual part of it. I'm working with them on the other things, the forgiveness, the trust, the mistrust, reconnecting mentally and emotionally, enjoying time together again, having fun together, doing activities, date nights. Every couple I work with is required to have a date night weekly, or I won't even work with them, because if they cannot dedicate that time to their relationship and to themselves, they're wasting their time and money.
That's beautiful. I want to say, date your spouse. Do not stop dating your spouse. I'll tell you this, even with this COVID-19 situation, you can still date your spouse. And I'll tell you how. I'll give you a perfect example. Me and my wife, we had a game night. We just broke out the Uno cards, played multiple games just to enjoy and have fun with each other. That brought back, you know, the intimacy lifestyle that you spoke about. We both enjoy playing games with each other. It was fun. And when I tell you, like, I saw the biggest smile on my wife's face, like, that made me proud. That made me happy. And if you don't know what to do, if you don't know what to do during this COVID-19 situation, Google it. I did. They have COVID-19 date ideas. You will be fine. You can do it. That's one thing I want to encourage.
No, absolutely. And I mean, obviously, you know, life happens. So, so when they're working with me, I require that they go weekly, right? But in normal life, you might not be able to sustain that. Although you might end up finding you'll find it so beneficial, you'll just continue to go with it. I have a lot of couples who do that, but it's okay if it's bi-weekly or once a month. But honestly, and you also don't need 4 or 5 hours or a whole night. If you can even just make 1 hour work because you have kids and, you know, then you do it. If your date night is walking around the block for a quick walk and just having a chat, then do it. I mean, anything is better than nothing.
Yes. Oh gosh, yes. Thank you for saying.
And that comes to the love languages as well. You know, that sort of loops back around to that. It's really important to know your partner's love language. because how you give and receive love, it's essential. The way you give it is the way you expect to receive it, but that does not mean it's the way that the other person receives it. Yeah. So understanding how they receive love can help with intimacy in the sense where women, right? Of course, we know that women tend to need that emotional, mental connection far more and more frequently than we do the physical connection. But we cannot even get to the physical level of intimacy if we do not have some level of like spiritual or emotional or mental bond with you. If we can't do that, we struggle in the physical department. Now, men struggle in the emotional and mental department if they don't have the physical side, right? So, so it's really understanding what the other person needs and meeting them in their world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you said something that was very key. Just because you receive love, your love language one way, does that mean your partner will? For example, if your love language is acts of service and your partner's love language to receive love is quality time does not mean vacuum in their rooms. Like, here you go. You're welcome. I love you. No, it's definitely not that. And they won't receive it. So I definitely understand that. And I thank you for bringing that up, because that's another key thing. Thank you for that. Oh, all right. My goodness. Wow. So many gems from this conversation. So many. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Yes. I wanted to say thank you for doing this. Thank you for coming on and just being honest about this. And trust me, there were a lot of gems from this. So really quickly, I'm going to give you the floor to let people know how they can contact you, work with you, things of that nature.
Okay, give me one second. Yeah, so the best way to reach me, I am currently accepting, I work with couples, like I said, and that usually turns into some level of individual work as well, or both. We kind of intertwine and have a process. I don't like to leave things open-ended. So if you do work with me, it's not you come and see me and then see me forever for the rest of your life. I like to graduate couples from programs. And then of course the door is always open if they'd like to come back at some point. And that's another thing to keep in mind is that you'll always need help at some point or another. It's not a quick fix. Here's a band-aid and you're good for, you know, life is complicated and relationships are complicated.
Absolutely.
We all struggle with interpersonal connection. We're not taught this stuff in schools. You know, we're not taught, our parents weren't taught this stuff. So we really don't know how to have healthy relationships. And I encourage you, even if you're not having any major issues, to begin couples therapy, because it really, it's relationship school. And we all desperately need it because we have screwed up. We have screwed up tremendously, and the proof is in the pudding. It's time to change that. So I really encourage everybody to begin some level of therapy. You can actually find me two ways. I work with Talkspace as well, which is an online therapy platform. Many people find that much easier now to be able to, we sort of text back and forth. There's video calls you can do through there. You can find me there. But more importantly, my caseload on there is full at the moment. You can reach me by just emailing me, which is Dr. Ivanka, DryVonka at lovinglifetoday.com. But you could just visit the website, lovinglifetoday.com as well. I own a clinic out in Tampa, Florida, where we are doing some remote counseling as well. And I have several therapists, another clinical sexologist that work for me as well. And yeah, we've got a lot of people. So that's how you can reach us.
All right. Thank you for that. And for those of you who weren't able to catch that, I will put that in the show notes so that you can work with her. And Dr. Ivanka, thank you so much for this. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate this so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That was an amazing episode. I'm not going to lie. I love doing it. I want to thank Dr. Ivanka DeRitter for coming on the podcast and speaking from her expertise and her experience. I definitely appreciate that. And one thing that I got from that out of the many things was when it comes to intimacy, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and lifestyle, if there's unforgiveness there, there's going to be a blockage. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to experience any blockage of intimacy with my wife. That's just me. I really hope you all mine some gems from this conversation because I know I sure enough did. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.